I'm doing something a little bit different this year for the Haggadah Shiur. In past years, I've just collected on my own different Divrei Torah from all the various Haggadahs I have at home. I must have, I would say, 50 or 60 different Perushim on the Haggadah at home, and it's always a fun job trying to collect them together. But I found that year after year, I would start the Shiur by saying that, this isn't really what the Seder is all about, and we're not supposed to just be saying Vartlach and just be saying little things that, that may be cute ideas or whatever. That's not what the whole point of the Seder is. So I figured instead of apologizing about the Shiur that I'm giving, maybe I should just give the Shiur that I want to give instead of apologizing about the Shiur that I'm actually giving. So I decided this year that we're going to do the Haggadah. We're going to focus on a particular Haggadah, and I chose the Haggadah of the Nesivos HaMishpat, the author of the Nesivos HaMishpat, Rabbeinu Yaakov Milisa, who wrote a Haggadah called the Maisa Nisim Haggadah. Now, the edition I have of the Haggadah is this little paperback edition. I found it in the basement of a farm store, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. Got it for like $3. They've since reprinted it with a nice hardcover, and they've improved the typeface. But essentially, in the back of your packets, I pretty much photocopied the entire Haggadah for you, because at certain points it will be helpful to at least see the words of the Haggadah, even if not the words of the Nesivos himself, as we go through the shiur. Just as noted on your Mar Makomos, tonight's shiur is sponsored by Jeff and Sarah Cohn in honor of their daughter Gabriella Hadassah, and in memory of the members of the Fogel family who were murdered in Itamar last month, and whose shloshim was just observed. So with the as we approach the Chag of Geula, certainly what happened in Itamar and the continuing struggle in Eretz Yisrael is something that that reminds us. It's a very sobering reminder of the desperate need for Geula and how badly we need Geula. And Klal Yisrael should know no more tzaras. We should be able to experience Geula, Mirtz Hashem, this year. We shouldn't have to say Lashon Haba, it should be this year. We won't have kashas if Mashiach comes at the wrong time, Tishrei, Nisan, all the machlok. So we won't ask him anything. I promise, just come, and we won't bother to ask him any questions. So we thank them for sponsoring the shir, and the shir should be a zuchus for their daughter and an aliyah for the neshamos, for those holy neshamos of the Fogel family. So the Nesivos starts his Haggadah. First of all, before he starts his Haggadah, let me just give you some of the background. The Nesivos, what he tries to draw out of his Haggadah, out of his Perush on the Haggadah, is an approach to the Leil HaSeder. Meaning, it's not just an explanation of each paragraph and a little vart on each paragraph, but he thinks that there are very important messages over here. That obviously, when the Haggadah was being written, this is the night that families sit together and describe how Klal Yisrael was made and the birth of a nation. And this is the night where we pass on our Mesorah in the strongest form to our children. So there are certain themes that the Nesivos highlights more than others, because he thinks the Baal Haggadah is telling us those are the most critical themes to emphasize on the night of the Seder. So you may have certain Divrei Torah in here where he'll start with seven questions and say three Yesodos and thereby answer the seven questions. And you're not going to be able to say all that over at your Seder. But the themes that he's trying to draw out, those are things that we can focus on and that we can certainly emphasize. So let me just go through a couple of the issues. First of all, just as a stylistic point, he always quotes from a Haggadah called Masa Hashem. I don't know who the author of Masa Hashem is. I once knew Jeff Mishra's father-in-law once brought me in a photocopy of the Haggadah of Masa Hashem that he has. He's a big Sfarim collector. But the Nesivos quotes from him often, almost always disagrees with him and gives his own pshat, but he sort of uses that as the basis of his commentary. The value of the Nesivos over other Haggadahs that are printed nowadays is nowadays you'll find a lot of Haggadahs with commentaries that weren't actually commentaries on the Haggadah, meaning they'll have the Haggadah of some great Gadol, but the Gadol never wrote a commentary on the Haggadah, he just wrote a lot of other stuff, and they took all his Divrei Torah and sort of weakly connected it to the Haggadah. So what you end up with is not really anything that's about the Haggadah. The Nesivos wrote this about the Haggadah, and he's, as I mentioned before, focused on what the Baal Haggadah is really trying to tell us. So some of the basic themes that he deals with is, first of all, that Geula equals Kinyan. He proves this and brings this point up several times, that the idea of Geula, when we emphasize that Klal Yisrael experienced the Geula, what we really mean is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquired us as His people, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a relationship with us, and that relationship is what we are emphasizing. It's not that God did a great miracle once upon a time. That is That is a reflection of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us His. And He made us His people, and we are forever His people. It's not about the miracle as the end unto itself. It's about the miracle as a reflection of this ongoing relationship. And that's a critical point to bring out around our Seder tables, that we're not just remembering something that was. There is this continuum of time in the Jewish consciousness of past, present, and future, where we're not just reliving the past. We're reliving the past in the present in order to experience a better future. It's all related to each other. It's not just something, these aren't just ancient events. Second, he says, the reason that it's so important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did miracles, meaning after all, there are people that are saved from life-threatening situations and from difficult circumstances without open miracles all the time. And they're just as happy to be alive as people who experienced open miracles. So he says the reason why it's so important and why we so emphasize the miracles, and that's why later in the Haggadah we start counting miracles. We start saying, well, how many Makos were there at the Yam Suf? And there were this many, 50, 100, 250, there were, and then we start counting the numbers of miracles. He said is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a blatant, open, clear show of His love for us, so that was an investment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That showed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael, this isn't just, I'm not just saving you now, but I know that there's going to be some point in the future where you're not going to do the right things, and where Klal Yisrael is going to sin, where Klal Yisrael is not going to do everything they should be doing, and at that point in the future, Klal Yisrael should be punished, but there's going to be something that holds HaKadosh Baruch Hu back from punishing us, or even worse, from just writing us off. And what's going to hold him back is, once he made this blatant, open, clear demonstration that we are his people, so to then back off of that is not only going to be a slap in the face to us, that maybe we deserve, but it's a slap in the face to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Chil Hashem of epic proportions, because everyone's going to realize, wait, these are God's people. Why are they abandoned? If we are abandoned, that's a Chil Hashem. So the Nesivos emphasizes that the reason we highlight all of these miracles, and this is a very critical idea, because miracles are, you know, so what that there were these miracles once upon a time? No, the reason we highlight these miracles is because it shows us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested His own reputation in us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts us and invested His own reputation in us. And any further punishment down the line is going to be not only bad for us, but ultimately would be a terrible Chil Hashem. Furthermore, he points out another Yesod, and again, he doesn't start the Haggadah by saying this. These are just the themes. I read through the whole Haggadah, and these are the themes that I thought were the most critical themes in the Haggadah. He says a lot of the details of the events that we read about and that we talk about in Tzias Mitzrayim weren't really so critical for the time that they happened. Meaning, some of these events that happened to the Mitzrim, really we could have done without them. And he particularly emphasizes this in the section of, anyone want to guess? The Makos, but even more so, Dayenu. When we say Dayenu, you know, really, there were certain events we really could have done without, and we still would have been okay. But the theme of Maisa Avos Simon Labanim, and again, all these points relate to each other, the theme of it's not just a one-time thing in history. When something happens to previous generations, it's a simon of what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael in the future. And the Geula that we experience from Mitzrayim is a prototype for the Geula Ha'asido, which is going to dwarf the Geulas Mitzrayim by comparison. And everything that happens in Geulas Mitzrayim is going to happen in even grander measure in the Geula Ha'asida. So some of the things that we are describing in Geulas Mitzrayim isn't even necessarily so critical for Geulas Mitzrayim per se, but it's very critical for us and in the Geula that we're hoping for. It's another theme that he draws out. And you notice the common denominator between all these themes is relevance. He makes the Haggadah relevant to us. It's not just the story of the birth of a nation, it's the story of the continued existence and the hopes of a nation. And that has to be drawn out at the Seder. However we run our Seder, we need to make it clear to ourselves, to our children, that this isn't about something that happened once, it's about something that's going to happen again, and it's about the very nature of who we are today. It's past, it's present, and it's future. And the final Yesod that I found that he discusses a lot is the idea that the suffering itself is very important in terms of making Klal Yisrael, allowing Klal Yisrael to reach their full maximum potential. It was important to suffer. And this is something that's very difficult to see. This is part of the idea of Marar. It's very difficult to see the reason for the bitterness and the difficulties when we're going through them. But at the end of the day, we realize that we're better people for it. You could say the old vart, you know, when we say Al Hanisim on Chanukah and Purim, one of the things we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for is not only the Nisim and the Neflaos and the Chuos, but what do we thank Him for? The Melchamos themselves. Well, who likes war? War is a bad thing. Why would you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wars? But the answer is, when you're battle-tested, when you go through the wars, it makes you a better person. It builds a certain, even though it sounds like a cliche, that it builds character, but it builds a certain amount of character. It's true. It's a cliche because it's true. It builds a certain amount of strength of spirit that we would not necessarily have had we not gone through these Yisurin. And therefore, the Nesiva says, that's why we spend so much time talking not only about the Geula, not only about the great miracles upon leaving Mitzrayim, but about what we went through in Mitzrayim, to show, look, we've been through the battles, we've been through the wars, we know, we've been cleansed, we've been refined, we've been made to be people who are ready for more. And that's why we're maskil b'gnus. We start with all the difficulties and all of the challenges in Mitzrayim, only to then lead us, because it's a direct lead-in, to the Messiah b'shavach, to discussing the great shavach of getting out of Mitzrayim. So now let's start the Haggadah. The Nesiva starts in his Hakdama, the Hakdama Samachaber, to the Haggadah, by telling us that the very idea of dedicating a night to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really almost sacrilege. It's really something that, who are we? We're going to sit here being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We can't even understand the beginning of the tip of what the qualities that make up HaKadosh Baruch Hu are. There's no such thing as even qualities that make up HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is so vast and so beyond our comprehension. He gives the famous mashal that the Medrash gives, that someone who's a rich man, if you go to Bill Gates and you say to Bill Gates, wow, you must be so rich, I bet you could afford a Mercedes. You know, like, he'll laugh at you. I'm so rich, I can afford a Mercedes. I could afford the company. I could have, and then 10 more like it. That's not a way to praise me. So you go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say, wow, you were able to make the water turn to blood, and you made frogs here, frogs there, frogs everywhere. That's amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are you kidding me? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so beneath me. The very idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu permits us to spend the night praising Him in this way shows us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views us as His own children. Because it wouldn't be acceptable for someone else, if Bill Gates' kid says to him, wow, Daddy, you could afford that toy? Thanks so much. That's cute. If someone else says it to him, it's a chutzpah. So the very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to approach Him in this way shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates that we are His children. And that's what He says. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Sanhedrin that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do all the shiros v'sishpachos that David HaMelech did, but then the Malach came and slapped him on his face and said, who do you think you are? That's a genayt HaKadosh Baruch Hu to sing all the songs and praises that David HaMelech sang. And the Nesiva says, well, I don't understand. Nebuchadnezzar was capable of composing a Tehillim? He was capable of singing those shiros v'tishbachos. And what would have been the gnai? That's a great book. If you would have been able to do that. So he said, no, this is the idea. That for a Nebuchadnezzar to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the patience for that. For a Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha, for someone who's not a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's child, to go and to start praising Him in that way would have been an insult and would have been a slap in the face. And that's what the Gemara is telling us, that he was slapped in the face and said, no, you're not allowed to express yourself in that way. So the Nesiva says the very permission to speak the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we know how inadequate we are in being able to describe it, is one great chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. And not only that, the fact that it's obvious when someone does something really nice for you that you have to thank them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it a mitzvah to thank Him, so something that we would probably have done anyway, and then He made it a mitzvah, relates to the general theme that we say throughout the year, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Lefichach Yerbalem Toru Mitzvos. That's what the Gemara says in the context of why is there an Isser to eat blood? No one would eat blood anyway. Who wants to eat blood? So the Gemara says, yeah, it's true, we probably wouldn't eat blood anyway, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give extra zechuyos to Klal Yisrael. So he makes things that are anyway, that we would do anyway, and turns them into mitzvos and says, okay, so now it's a mitzvah. Now you get extra credit for it, even though you probably would have done it anyway. And that's also a great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. But the Nesiva says, the only thing is, the way the Baal Haggadah wrote the Haggadah was in a very cryptic form. You have to realize, when things are written by Tanaim, think about the Mishnayos that we learn. Mishnayos were written by Tanaim, and then we have all of Talmud Bavli, which is page after page, trying to get to the bottom of it, and all the commentators that came afterwards. It's so difficult, it's so cryptic, it's so closed, it's so hard to understand exactly what point. It seems like a mesh of different stories and ideas and strange-sounding drashos that somehow were just locked together, and that's your Haggadah. So, like, how do you make heads or tails of that? So the Nesiva says, that's what I'm hoping to be able to do for you through this commentary on the Haggadah. And the themes that he draws out are the themes that I mentioned before, but we're going to go through a number of the details as much as time permits this evening. So that was his Hakdama. Then he has, a few pages later, after he has a Shabbos Haggadah drasha printed in there, it wasn't his, one of his grandchildren's Shabbos Haggadah drasha, they threw it in there. Then he has a psicha. Psicha is another way of saying hakdama. But, you know, I guess he had two. So he has another opening statement to the Haggadah. And this one is a more halachic opening statement. He discusses two halachic issues. One of them, I think, is important in terms of understanding the themes of a lot of areas of halacha, and the other one is just an interesting tidbit. The first one is, he asks the famous question. We have a mitzvah, v'igadta levincha, it is a mitzvah sasemi daraisa, and by the way, this is the kind of mitzvah, this is a one mitzvah that it seems has been almost completely lost in our generation. It's always one of the great tragedies of the educational system that we have. You know, as great as our yeshivas are, and as much as Hakar Satov, we should have to our yeshivos, the mitzvah seems to have turned into v'higadta la'avicha. That children come and they just tell their parents all the things. What should really be appropriate is that the children should come with questions. They should come armed with questions. And the parents should come with the answers. My second grade son, there's one rabbi in the yeshiva, my second grade son says to me, I'm going to have a lot of questions at the Seder night, and if you don't have the answers, I'm going to have some answers too, if you need, because his Rebbe trained him, his Rebbe taught him that, you know, you're supposed to be asking the questions. What would have been even better is if the Rebbe wouldn't give him the answers and would send the parents the answers. That would facilitate v'igadta levincha even more. But there is a mitzvah d'oraisa, mitzvah sasemi d'oraisa, v'igadta levincha, that you're supposed to teach your children. So most mitzvah sasemi d'oraisa, we have a bracha before we do the mitzvah. Baruch atah Hashem, elkein melech ha'om, asher kidushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, al netilas lulav. Likvoa mezuzah, whatever, any mitzvah say midaraisa. So we always have a bracha before the mitzvah. Where's the bracha? Asher kidushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. So he points out that the Rishonim already dealt with this, but he doesn't really like their answers very much. The Rif says, you already yotzei the bracha, because in Kiddush he said, Zecher l'Yitzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, that's like a Birchus HaMitzvah on Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's not very satisfying, because where's the Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos of Itzivanu? I mean, Kiddush isn't a Birchus HaMitzvah. That doesn't even sound like a Birchus HaMitzvah. So how could that... And Kiddush is on the day, it's not on the Haggadah, certainly. And it's also Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's not on Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Rashba says, no, because there's no set amount of time that you're supposed to spend on Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it could be even just Dibur Echad, even just a word of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, therefore they didn't make a bracha because it's so fluid in terms of the amount of time. So there are many, many problems with that as well. First of all, is that even true? That Dibur Echad, you could be Yotzei Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim, maybe Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim that you have to do every single day would be good enough to just say Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. But Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim, you need to tell the whole story, and he brings a very interesting proof. Someone came over to me after Megillah laning on Purim and said, I think I missed a word when I heard the Megillah. What do I do? So really the halacha is, I told him, you didn't miss a word, you're just being nervous, whatever. But because... whatever, I'm not going to get into the details, but the halacha that he was asking based on was the fact that halacha is if you miss a word of the story of the Megillah, you're not Yotzei Kriyas Megillah, you have to do it over again. So he says, so for a miracle that happened in the times of Achashverosh, of Haman and Mordechai and Esther, if we miss a word in telling over that story, we have to do it again. We're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. So for the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, where we have to remember it every single day. So you think on the anniversary of that day, we can just skip the whole story entirely? You can just say a word? That's impossible. It can't be that you can just skip the story. The story is important, and the details of the story are important. Exactly what happened. I remember a few years ago when they came out, Rabbi Chait from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Baruch Chait came out with a Haggadah for children with pictures of all the things that happened during Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they were so graphic. They were so scary for little children. People asked him, how could you do that? Isn't it going to scare little children? He said, well, that's what it was. I'm trying to show them exactly what it looked like, what it was really like. You have to know your kids, whether they can handle it or not. But we're supposed to go through details. We're supposed to go through exactly what happened. He says, I can't believe that this Rashba is correct, that it's good enough to just say a single word, and therefore there's no bracha. Plus, who said just because it's a single word, therefore there shouldn't be a bracha? It's still a mitzvah, so why does that take care of the bracha? So the Nesiva says, no, the real answer is as follows. There is a mitzvah d'oraisa, the achalta v'savato v'erachta, that you, when you eat a meal, you should bench afterwards. Where's our bracha? Baruch ata Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam, asher kidshanu nitzvosu v'tzivanu, levarich al hamazon. Levarich birchas hamazon. How come there's no birchas mitzvah? Before we do that mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to say daraisa like any other mitzvah to say midaraisa. So the Nesiva says the answer is pashut. Whenever the mitzvah itself is a bracha, you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that itself is done through a bracha. So the Nesiva writes, how do we do the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Well, it culminates in this great bracha, Asher Ga'alanu, a bracha that we make in the Haggadah. Any mitzvah that you do through a bracha, we don't make a bracha before we say Avdallah, Asher Kishar Mitzvah Vitzivanu, Lahavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. Why don't we make such a birchas mitzvah? Because Havdalah is a bracha. You don't make a bracha before reading Kriya Shema even. Asher Kishar Mitzvah Vitzivanu, Likros Hashema. Why? Because we read Kriya Shema in the context of Birchos Kriya Shema, which aren't Birchos HaMitzvah, but the way we do the mitzvah is with brachos. So whenever you do a mitzvah with brachos, you don't make a bracha on the brachos that you're going to do the mitzvah with. He says that's really why the Haggadah doesn't have that idea, doesn't have the a bracha, Birchos HaMitzvah, to begin with. His second point of psicha is a halachic point that's much more lemaisa. And he says, a lot of people use horseradish for marar. And he says, I just have a problem with it in the following way. The halacha is, in the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us, that if you take a vegetable and grind it up really small, the bracha changes from a bar pri adama to a shahakol. The Gemara also says in Maseches Brachos, that if you've changed the bracha of the marar or the matzah, you've changed it enough to change the bracha, it can no longer be used for the mitzvah of marar or matzah. Meaning the change that would ruin it for marar is even less of a change than the change that would ruin it for the bracha. So if you've changed it for the bracha, you for sure have gone beyond the point where it's still kosher for marar. So he says, I have a big kasha. I don't know why the whole world grinds up their marar. I think they should take the horseradish and just chomp on it and eat it that way. And that's the only way you could be. And there are alto European yidden that you do that. It's crazy. Great. I don't know. I guess it's a good thing. Oh, you're a member of Hatzalah.
Yeah, just you're gonna need stuff in about 2 seconds.
Yeah. So it's a good kasha why he's wrong, because all of Klal Yisrael does not like him. So it's a good kasha why he's wrong. He seems to have very strong rayos that and he says, and don't tell me that, well, even after it's chopped up, it's very bitter, and as long as it still tastes bitter, it's okay. So it has nothing to do with how bitter it tastes, because romaine lettuce is kosher. According to the Mishnah, lettuce is the better marah to use than the horseradish. And lettuce isn't anywhere near as bitter as even ground up or cooked or anything horseradish. Yet we know that cooked horseradish, the halacha is no good for marar. But lettuce is less bitter than cooked horseradish. So it's got nothing to do with how bitter it actually tastes. So that's his kasha. So it's a good kasha to pose at the Seder, see if you could challenge some of family members that you're sick of, to try to chew on their horseradish. Okay, let's move on. So he In the Kiddush at the night of the Seder, we make a bracha, Shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'higiyanu l'zman hazeh. Now that bracha is not only reserved obviously for the night of the Seder, that bracha is said a lot of times, but the Nesivos raises the following question. Why is it, isn't it a repetitive bracha? What's the difference exactly between Shechiyanu, v'kiyimanu, and v'higiyanu? Don't those all mean the same thing? We are here, l'zman hazeh. We're here now. Shechiyanu, v'kiyumanu, v'higiyanu. So, like he does throughout the Haggadah, he says, let me answer the question by asking a few more questions. So, question number one. We often refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Kel Chai V'Kayam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chai. How do you translate that? Alive, living. V'Kayam? Existing? So, what's the difference? Not only that, in Baruch Shamar we say every day, what do we say? Baruch Chai La'ad, V'kayam lanetzach. What does chay la'ad mean? Living forever. Kayam, existing, lanetzach. What does lanetzach mean?
Forever.
Isn't that repetitive? Why do we keep saying those same words over and over again, those same phrases over and over again? So he says there's a big difference between chay and kayam. Chay means he who gives life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only chay so long as he has who to give to. It's like when we say in Adon Olam Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, right? He was that the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that he was a Melech even B'Terem Kol, even before anything was created, because that normally can't happen. You can only be a Melech once things are there to be Molech over. Chai, the ability to give life, is only once HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chai. Kayam means that he's Nitzchi. Kayam means that there's a sense of eternity, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this, he's before time, he's after time, he's beyond time. He has this sense of Nitzchis, of eternity. That's the difference between Chai v'Kayam. So says the Nesivos, now we understand a little bit why we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as both. They're two different things. Chai is what he gives us in terms of our physical needs. Kayam is his quality of Nitzchis. And the Jewish people are also called Chayim v'Kayamim. Because we also, chayim means that we are living, we managed to make it through all these gilgulim of history as nations rose and fall, we managed to be chay, we managed to physically somehow make it through, but we're also v'kayam. We also connect to that nitzchius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to that eternity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that happens on a spiritual level, not on a physical level. So the Jewish people are also chayim v'kayamim. We have that spiritual survival, and that's the he says perhaps what Shechiyanu is about. Shechiyanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us our physical survival. V'kiyamanu, you gave us our spiritual survival. You've enabled us to survive spiritually. But even after physically surviving, spiritually surviving, v'higiyanu, sometimes we might be here, but we still don't have the wherewithal and the ability or the financial ability, the physical ability to be able to do these mitzvos. So we're saying v'higiyanu, that we are able to do the mitzvos as well. Three separate things. And that's what we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. And again, the Nesivos doesn't just say this here because he has a nice vart in Shechiyanu. He puts it in his Haggadah because he thinks this is a theme of the Haggadah. That the Haggadah is not a story from the past. It's about the story of Jewish history that continues. That we are chai and we are kayam, and therefore we are able to be higiyanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us to be able to come to this night and to be able to do those mitzvos. And that's the first thing we really say in the Haggadah at the very end of Kiddush. Then he goes on to discuss the halach ma'anya. Halach ma'anya is you find, just by the way, throughout the Nesivos' Haggadah, he has a lot of ideas that you were familiar with, but he just puts them together. Probably they originated with him, or he puts them together in a very unique and interesting way. He says, I have seven questions on Halach Ma'anya. And I put them down on the sheet to make it easier to follow. He says, first of all, why is it in Aramaic? Why isn't it in Hebrew? Second of all, you know, of all the times to invite poor people, why is it Dafka Chag HaPesach? Why not Sukkot? Why not Shavuos? Why is it Dafka Pesach? We're inviting the poor people in. And also, the timing of the invitation is so ill-timed. We come in, we close the door, we sit at the table, and we say, anyone who'd like to come in, please, by all means, join us for the Seder. Well, that's not really very helpful for the people who aren't here, who aren't already here. And furthermore, he says, why do we refer to it as Lach Ma'anya, as Lechem Oni? After all, what was the matzah really about in the Torah, if you read the Chumash? It wasn't about what we ate in Egypt. The matzah was about what we ate on the way out, because the bread didn't have a chance to rise, and it's really bread of chayrus. So why do we refer to it as lechem oni? And that relates to question number five. He says, no, we ate it when we left Mitzrayim. We weren't eating it in the slavery. That's not what the matzah is about. Question number six, the double language in Halach Ma'anya. Hashata hacha, l'shana haba ba'arad Yisrael. Hashata avdi, l'shana haba b'nei chorin. What's the double language? And finally, question number seven, according to the Nusach of the Haggadah of the Rambam, they didn't say this passage when there was a Beis HaMikdash. So whatever this passage has to offer us, it's apparently unique to Galus. It wasn't meant for a time when there was a Beis HaMikdash. So what is this passage trying to tell us? And why was it not meant for the times that there was a Beis HaMikdash? So in order to answer these questions, the Nesiva says you need to know three things. There are three yesodos that need to be made clear. Number one, he says, whenever you have an anniversary of celebrating redemption of this magnitude, it always should be done with a great celebration. And it makes sense to celebrate unless you're in a worse position than you were originally. Meaning, if a person gets out of jail, so it makes sense to celebrate the anniversary of the day he got out of jail. Unless he got out of a minimum security jail, and then he went on a killing rampage, and he was put in a maximum security prison, so on the anniversary that he was let out of the minimum security prison, out of the country club jail, it probably doesn't make so much sense while he's, you know, in the maximum security prison to celebrate every year, you know, in solitary confinement, the anniversary of the time that he was let out of the country club jail. So that probably doesn't make much sense. Meaning, if you're in a worse position than right now, than you even were before, it would make no sense to celebrate. Point number two, however much joy we have in general, when we make big parties, like I told my Talmidim, when, you know, your five-year-old birthday party, how many people were there? So I said, I don't know, 20 kids from my class. And your bar mitzvah, how many people were there? A couple of hundred. Well, why is that? They're celebrating the same thing. They're both a birthday. No, but the bar mitzvah is a bigger deal. When something's a bigger simcha and it's a bigger deal, you invite more people. You get more people involved. When it's a smaller deal, you invite. When it's not as big of a deal, you invite less people. Number three, we ate matzah in Mitzrayim because we were very busy with the work. This we're very familiar with. That which all the Mefarshim say, that we didn't only eat matzah on the way out, we also ate matzah while we were in Mitzrayim. So on page 21 in the Haggadah, on the bottom of the page, the Siva says, Va'achre haktamos elu navo el biur apiska. Now that I've explained these haktamos, let me explain to you what Halach Ma'anya is all about. That this din of Halach, this passage of Halach Ma'anya was made after the Churban HaBayis to deal with the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is, how in the world can we celebrate getting out of Mitzrayim when in 1492 in Spain, in Auschwitz, in Buchenwald, how can we celebrate getting out of Mitzrayim throughout all of the different periods that the Jewish people have gone through? It makes no sense to celebrate. Halach Ma'anya is there to address the question, Akati Avdei Achashverosh Shanan, we're still stuck in the Galus, and therefore what in the world are we doing tonight by celebrating? So says the Nesivos, and how do we answer that question? We say that even though this is the bread, Halach Ma'anya, Da'achla V'sana Barad Mitzrayim, the bread we eat tonight is the same bread of affliction that our forefathers ate. It asks the question. It's saying, look, we eat the same thing our forefathers ate in Egypt because we're suffering the way they were suffering. In 1492 in Spain, we're suffering the same way they're suffering. And in throughout all the persecutions, we're suffering the same way they were suffering. And that's what it means, halach ma'anya, because the su'uda is called lechem. Lechem is the way in Tanakh we refer to a su'uda. Madua lo ba ben Yishai el lechem, the pasuk says. Shaul wonders, where's David HaMelech when he's making his Rosh Chodesh party? So what does he say to his son, Yonasan? Where's ben Yishai el halechem? Ben Yishai is supposed to be here for the bread. Bread means the meal. This meal is the same meal we ate in servitude. And therefore, what kind of simcha can we make? So he writes, that only makes sense, obviously, to ask that question, which is what Halach Ma'anya is posing, at the time when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. When we have a Beis HaMikdash, Halach Ma'anya is irrelevant. We don't need to ask that question. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we have what to celebrate. But what's the answer to the question? So on page 22, he says, L'zeh amar ha-magid li'yashiv zeh, ki yodua sha'af she'im mi'darach adam l'smach, ala avar k'shu shokor b'beis ha-kela. Granted, it's not normal to celebrate when you're still stuck in jail. But let's say you know that because of being stuck in that, because you got out once, you therefore know that you can do it again. You therefore know that not only can you, but that you will do it again. And that's the source of your hope. Well, then there's cause for celebration. Because through that, we learned the skills that are going to help us the next time. We learned, it's skills isn't really the right word, but we learned, we gained the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the guarantee that it's going to happen again. And that's the answer to Halach Ma'anya. The answer is, I mentioned to you before, what's the Yesod of the Haggadah? One of the Yesodos the Nesivos draws out is that things that happened then are not just a celebration of past events, it is a harbinger of what's going to come in the Geula Hasidah. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a blatant statement about his relationship with us, such an explicit statement about his relationship with us by making all of these miracles, it shows us that it would be a Chilul Hashem for HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to do it again. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to save us again would be a Chilul Hashem. So we know it's going to happen again. And therefore, there's what to celebrate. The celebration is the fact that we have this incredible confidence that it's going to happen again. And we invite guests, because you invite guests when there's reason to celebrate. So even in exile, even when we're in Galus, since the previous redemption tells us that it's going to be to happen again. And he says the double lashon, that's actually a separate issue. The double lashon of Hashata Avdi L'Shana Abav Hashata Avdi L'Shana Abav Bnei Chorin, he says really relates to a, this is almost like a separate vart, he says really relates to Machlokas in the Gemara, what month the Geula is going to come in. Is it going to happen in Tishrei or is it going to happen in Nisan? Because he says it's well known that 6 months before the Shibud is going to stop, 6 months rather, before Mashiach comes, before the Geula happens, the Shibud is going to stop. And there is this machlokas when it's going to happen. So we say, if the Geula is going to happen in Tishrei, so then we know that it's not going to be this Tishrei, because then the Shibud would have stopped by Nisan 6 months earlier. So we know it's not going to be this Tishrei yet. So then we say, okay, so since it hasn't happened yet, it must be the following Tishrei, a year and a half from now. And therefore, the Nisan, the first time we're going to no longer be Avadim is going to be next year. L'Shana Haba, we're going to be B'nai Chorin. But if the Geula is supposed to happen in Nisan, so then L'Shana Haba, we might actually be Ba'arad Yisrael. We might actually be in Eretz Yisrael. We're sort of hedging on that line of the Haggadah. We're saying, depending which Shita you hold like. If the Geula is supposed to happen in Tishrei, well, in L'Shana Haba, we know we're not going to be in Eretz Yisrael yet, but at least we won't be Mishubadim, we won't be Avadim anymore. But if the Geula is supposed to happen in Nisan, well, then there's really hope that L'Shana Haba, it's going to be complete, because in Tishrei it's going to start. We're actually going to make it completely through. I don't know how many more I'm going to have time to say, so let me skip to one of my favorites, and then we'll I guess, go backwards. The Nesivos asks on the Dalet Banim, which is obviously everyone's favorite part to say a nice Dvar Torah, and usually related to Chinuch. He says something that's not so related to Chinuch. Right before we say Keneged Arba Banim Dibur Torah, the paragraph starts with a cryptic line. It starts with what sounds like a bracha. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas and Torah Liyamo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. In fact, it sounds like four brachos. And then we say, oh, Keneged Arba Banim Dibur Torah, there are four sons, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Sheni Yodei Elishon. Question for thought, we couldn't have thought of a better name than an Einu Yodei Elishon. Like everyone else has a one-word name. Chacham, Rasha, Tam. Einu Yodei, that's like a very tedious name to say. So, okay, something to think about. But that's not what the Nesivos gets into. So he says, what's the idea over here? How is that, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas, and Torah L'Amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu, a proper introduction to the Dalet Banim, a proper introduction to the four sons? So the Nesivos says as follows. There are four types of relationships that people have with God. One type of relationship is the Avram Avinu relationship. The Avram Avinu relationship is someone who, as a young man, went outside, looked at trees and mountains and oceans and said, you know what? This can't be by itself. Someone must have made this. This couldn't happen by itself. It's ridiculous to assume it happened by itself. right? Like the famous Medrash with Rabbi Akiva, where someone says to Rabbi Akiva, I think the whole world just happened by itself. And Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, you should see. I agree with you, because you should see this book that I have right here, with all these words that are so difficult to understand but make so much sense and are so brilliant. You know how it was written? It was all blank, and I took some ink, and as I was flipping through these blank pages, I just dropped ink, and it came out with all these words, just so, just perfect. And the guy said to Rabbi Akiva, well, that's ridiculous. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. How could something so complicated and all the words making sense and all the words being of deep value, how could that have just been, by accident, that a drop of ink happened to fall in that way? So Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, and the human body it makes more sense to you that just happened? The nature just happened? You know, the complexities of animal life, the complexities of the world that we live in, that couldn't have just happened either. The Chacham is the one who sees this, who sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu through nature. Second type of way to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the way that most of us really connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that, you know, most of us didn't wake up one day and go outside and say, wow, I can't believe there's grass growing, there must be a God. We were taught in yeshiva that there is a God, and we were taught to learn Torah and learn His wisdom, and through the learning of His wisdom, we learn to connect to Him. And we connect Him through His autobiography, through the Torah. Third way one might connect to God is somewhat of an unfortunate way, and that is sometimes people don't really have their own connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They just sort of, you know, I'm a good child, I do whatever my parents tell me to do. My parents go to shul, I go to shul, because that's what you do. That's what I was brought up to do. You go to shul. But they don't really connect in any way. If the father davens a 2.5 minute shmonesre, the kid davens a 2.5 minute shmonesre. The father, you know, talks all the time, the kid talks all the time. It's not really a connection. It's just socially religious kind of thing. I don't really feel connected to God. It's just, you know, this is what I do, because this is what my parents did. And the fourth relationship one might have with God is one of rejection, one of rebellion. Where a person is angry at God for whatever reason, and they decide they're going to run the other way. And they also don't have a proper relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Says the Nesivos, these are the four sons. The Chacham is the one who sees the God of nature. The Rasha, obviously, is the rejectionist. He's the one that runs in the other direction. The Tam, he says, this is the most misunderstood son of all. In Haggadahs that have pictures, the way I always describe this, is if you look in a picture Haggadah, look at the picture of the Tam and the Eino Yodei Lishol, and try to discern the difference between the Tam and the Eino Yodei Lishol when they try to draw pictures. The Rosh is easy. They put a guy in a leather jacket and an earring, and you know the Chacham they make with nice curly payas and tzitzis and a sefer. What's the difference between the Tam and the Eino Yodei Lishol? You know what I found in all the picture Haggadahs? The Eino Yodei Lishol doesn't have a mouth. They both have like this blank look, and the Eino Yodei Lishol doesn't have a mouth. The only problem is people do have mouths. So like, what are they drawing exactly? What's the difference between the Tam and the Eino Yodei Lishol? So the Nesivos says people misunderstand what the Tam is. Tam is from Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalin. Tam means someone who experiences the Tamimus of Torah. Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalin, the Yaakov Avinu is described as the Tam because he sat in the Ohel of Shem Ve'Ever. He sat in Yeshiva. That's what Tam means. So he says the Tam is the one that relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his Torah. And the Eino Yodei Lishol is the one who doesn't ask any questions. Dad did it, I'll do it. I don't really have any, no deep philosophical questions about religion. Doesn't really feel it, just does whatever his father did. So Nesiva says, now we understand the four Baruchs very clearly. Baruch HaMakom is Keneged Chacham. Because Makom relates to God being Mekomo Shel Olam. What does it mean that God is the Mekomo Shel Olam? It means that the world is not a place where God resides. God is a place where the world resides, meaning God is seen in every corner of this universe. You could see the presence of God in every blade of grass, in every, if you ever have a chance to go on YouTube and type in Rav Avigdor Miller and apple seeds, it will be the most amazing 1.5 minutes of a video where he describes how in the seeds of an apple, you see the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, how Kadosh Baruch Hu put everything in there, you see the wisdom in everything. The Chacham appreciates Baruch HaMakom. He can bless HaMakom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mekom HaShel Olam. Baruch Hu, what's Hu? Hu is Him, right? Hu is not really referring to God as anything. In fact, you know, when I'm sure many of us have had have gone through some sort of workshop or at least have gotten advice before going on interviews or before meeting people that we have to impress, and one of the things that you're taught is instead of, you're meeting Mr. Smith, instead of saying, nice to meet you, you say, nice to meet you, Mr. Smith. you make it personal, you connect. When you, it's just him, it's you're removing yourself, you're creating a barrier. So the Rasha has that barrier, he doesn't have a connection. Kadosh Baruch Hu is who? He's not someone that I'm connected with. The next one is the easiest one. The Tam, if he's the Ben Torah, Baruch Shenasan Torah Liyamu Yisrael. He's the blessed is the one who gave the Torah, because that's how he appreciates God. And then you have the tragic She'ini Yodei Lishol. The She'ini Yodei Lishol is not rebellious, but perhaps because he has no edge to him whatsoever, he also doesn't have a relationship with God. And the way he refers to God is the same way the Rasha refers to God. He doesn't really know who God is. It's Baruch Hu. He doesn't have that relationship. And it's true, at a certain point in life, it's okay to be an Eni Yodei Lishol, but there's also a certain point where a person is supposed to grow out of being an Eni Yodei Lishol. And we're supposed to start asking questions, start developing our own relationship. I mean, it's proper to grow up in a Torah environment and have that relationship. And then the Nesiva says, and that's why if you go through Divrei Chazal, you'll find four different reasons that we had Geula. There's the Zechus of the Mitzvos of the Dam Pesach, Dam Mila. Says that's Keneged, the Chacham, who actively gets involved in doing the Mitzvos, because he sees God in this world, in the physical world. You have Bris Avos, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised your grandfather that he was going to take care of you, even though you don't deserve it. That's what Bris Avos means. The Rasha gets out only because of Bris Avos. You have Zuchus Avos. You have Zuchus HaTorah. That's what the Tam gets out, the Zuchus HaTorah. And then you have Zuchus Avos. What does Zuchus Avos mean? That because you remind me of your father, you do the same things your father did, and I liked your father, I'm going to let you out. That's different than Bris Avos. Bris Avos, you don't remind me of your father at all, but I told the old man I'm going to take care of you. Zuchus Avos is, you remind me of your father. That's the Eni Yodei Lishol. I put it in a chart, make it a little bit easier for you in Roman numeral number 8, but it looks like we're out of time, so we'll stop there.